Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to study God's Word with us. Thanks for those who are recording the lessons and doing the things behind the scenes that are necessary to make these broadcasts available for us until we're able to assemble publicly again. If you were expecting Brother Pope this morning, I was too. Unfortunately, he was not feeling well, so we want to remember him in our prayers that he'll have a quick recovery. Also, be sure to check the family news and see of others that we need to be praying for and looking for ways that we can help one another. Many years ago, when I was a freshman in college, and yes, that was many years ago, I remember sitting in a Bible class, and the professor started off the class by saying, "Today we're going to study one of the most fascinating books in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy." And it caught me by surprise because I had never really heard the book of Deuteronomy described in that way before. But Brother Phil Roberts was teaching the class, and he made the statement that Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy more than any other Old Testament book. And that caught my attention. I thought, and it must really be quite significant. And it makes sense also, if you think about it, that it's Moses' last words before he's going to depart from his life and his career of leading God's people. And as he's thinking about people going into the promised land without him, what can he say to prepare them? What can he say to encourage them? Most of us recognize that people's last words are important. Oftentimes parents are concerned about how their children will fare when they're not around. I know when my kids were young, I always worried if something happened to me, who would tell them things, teach them things, prepare them? And most times we don't know when we're going to leave this life, but Moses did know. And so he had the opportunity to say some things that would help God's people when he wasn't there with them. In addition, of course, he also had God's Spirit directing him in the things that he had to say. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, he reminded them of God's covenant with his people that was established on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. And he reminded God's people of God's gracious promises and how God fulfilled them. He reminded God's people of God's tremendous power and his delivering them from slavery. He repeats the Ten Commandments. They're only founded in the Bible in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And Brother Roberts went on to talk about how this book was outlined, really set up just like a treaty that was real common at this time period. The parties who were involved were identified at the beginning, and then there was a historical background information about what led to this covenant or agreement, the responsibilities of each of the parties, and then finally the consequences for keeping or breaking the covenant, blessings if the covenant was kept, curses if the covenant were broken. The word remember is important throughout the book of Deuteronomy. It's used over a dozen times. And it's the idea of remembering that I really want to emphasize this morning. One of the frustrations of getting older is that it seems harder and harder to remember things. But really, memory is a challenge for every age. I know when I was younger, I would easily forget about chores or forget about them needing to be done by a certain time. It's easy to forget assignments or appointments. It's one of the reasons that assembling is so important for New Testament Christians, and it's certainly something that we miss at this time. Being together reminds us of our God, reminds us of our Savior, and reminds us of each other. Let's make sure that while we're not able to meet publicly, that we are remembering each other. I always think about Paul in many of his letters, how he talked about people that he was separated from and how he continually remembered them and was continually praying for them. And so let's be mindful of each other and be in each other's prayers. This is indeed a challenging time. If you're like me, you may have trouble remembering what day it is because our routines are disrupted. But this is the Lord's day. Of course, in one sense, every day belongs to the Lord. But the first day of the week is a special day. On the first day of the week, the Lord told us to remember his death by partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And whether you've already done that this morning or you're going to do that sometime later today, we want to remember the Lord's death. There are many reminders throughout the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll do well to be reminded of all of them. But I want to focus on one thing that we're told to remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 14. If you'll turn with me, let's read those verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones or iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. In the very first verse of this passage, Moses tells the people to be careful. When things are new and unfamiliar, we oftentimes will read instructions, be very deliberate and attentive in each step that we take, be conscious of safety. But as we become more familiar, sometimes too familiar, we skip over instructions. We divide our attention and become distracted. We may be heedless of safety and take risks. Moses says not only to be careful, but he says to remember. Remember that God is leading us in verse 2. But not only is God leading us, he's also testing us to see if we will follow his leadership. He's testing us, he says, to know what is in our heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Those are not two separate things. They're the same thing. Knowing what's in our heart, knowing if we'll keep his commands. Some people think that it doesn't matter if you keep commands as long as your heart is right. But your obedience or disobedience is really a reflection of what's in your heart. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15 when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Moses goes on also to remind the people that God allows them to encounter difficulties and challenges, to be hungry, to have to lack. And yet he says that these challenges and difficulties can actually be a benefit or a blessing. In verse 5, God is compared to a wise parent. He's not overprotective, depriving his children of opportunities to be challenged, to learn, and to grow. But instead, he allows us to experience things that force us to grow and to learn. And one of the most important things to learn is to depend on him. We see, though, as Moses goes on to describe the danger that God's people face, an even greater danger than lack or scarcity is the danger of abundance. Moses warns that when they enter into the land and they have houses and plenty of food, it may be very easy for them, when they have all that they think they need, to forget about God, to become proud, and to think that they no longer have need. Most of us use electricity every day, and we hardly ever think about it until it goes off. Most of us are pretty healthy, and that's certainly easy to take for granted until the day comes when we're not healthy. In this country, our standard of living for most people is so comfortable that it's easy to take our supply of needs and essentials, food, for granted. We're not used to empty pantries, certainly not used to empty shelves at the grocery store. Perhaps you've never had trouble finding employment, never been laid off or out of work, and it's easy to take your income and livelihood for granted. It's easy to think that you're in complete control of your life, but that's certainly deception. We are always completely dependent upon God. But that shouldn't be a frightening thought. In fact, in many ways, it's a liberating thought. Think about it. Would you really rather be in control of everything or have God in control of everything? I know when it comes to my health, I would much rather be under the care of one of our physicians than to have to depend on my own medical knowledge. And when it comes to life, I certainly want to be under God's guidance and protection and under His leadership instead of my own. These are distressing times. There's no doubt about that. But they certainly pale in comparison to the days in which Jeremiah lived. An invading army took children away as hostages, came back within a decade and killed many people, took several people from their homes, uprooted them and moved them to another place. Finally, the city that Jeremiah was in was surrounded and besieged, was filled with famine and pestilence and death. And yet Jeremiah would write in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast on this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord." We are certainly not in control, but our Father is. And our Father loves us. Our Father is just. Our Father is righteous. He's all wise. He's all powerful. For these reasons, David advises in difficult times. In Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In this passage, God doesn't say that he would keep his people from experiencing afflictions, but he says he will deliver them from the afflictions. He doesn't say that we won't have difficulties, that we won't cry out, but he says when we do, that he will hear. We know that God will provide all that we need. In difficult times, in fact, are one of the things that we need. These are times when we're forced to grow, when we're forced to depend on God, and in his wisdom, he allows it. Hopefully, while this may be a trying time, it will prove to be a blessing for all of us. Thank you for being with us today. Let's end our study with a prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you for your unfailing love, for your wisdom and power. We depend on you for all things, and you've never failed us. Even when we don't understand, even when we're afraid, you are there, you're providing for us, and we know that ultimately your wisdom will be demonstrated. We're mindful of those who are ill and pray that you will bless them with health. We pray for all those who are providing care. We pray for those who are seeking a vaccine and healing treatments. We pray, Father, for wisdom for our rulers, that they will make good decisions. And we pray, Father, especially for your people at this time, that while we cannot physically be together, that you will help us to be mindful of each other and in each other's hearts, and that we will soon be able to be together to worship publicly, and most importantly, that the time will come when we will all be together forever to magnify and honor you through eternity. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.